You know what I need? I need a cool intro song. I think that's what the first order of business should be, is like figuring out how to make this cooler. And I think the first order of business is a cool intro song. That is noted, and that is something I'm going to figure out. Quick note before I actually jump in and get started. If you hear like clanging, banging around, something that might cause you to feel alarmed in any way of my well-being or my safety, no worries. My husband is currently working out in our garage gym that he had built when we first moved into our house. So that's just normal everyday life, because I'm trying really hard to have this, or have each episode, not be edited. Like, I'm really trying for it to be this unedited, you know, piece, or every episode to be unedited, because I don't want it to be perfect. I'm not striving for that. But let's just dive on in with that slightly alarming disclaimer. I have to start with, because I totally forgot to say this last time. I forgot to say a lot of things last time, but I think the nervous energy is what made me just like put it out there and not give you some of the information that you might have needed. This is not something you necessarily need, but I do think it's a funny story. I want to thank my dad for giving me this recording studio microphone that I'm using right now. No joke, it's literally a microphone that is, the purpose of it is for, I guess, podcasts, but really, like, it looks like it belongs at a recording studio. He does not work in the recording studio industry or would need this microphone for anything career-wise. This man bought this giant microphone for the sole purpose of singing karaoke at home and recording his voice while he sings it. So honestly, let's learn a little bit from him. Let's live our lives like that. Just, he's ridiculous. But I think he realized that he didn't really need it. And when I had talked about wanting to do this podcast, he, at that very moment, just took it apart from his desk in his office at his house and just gave it to me. So thanks, Dad. Appreciate it. Finally putting it to good use. So hope you're proud. If you're listening on iTunes, just a quick note. The actual page will say that there's explicit language. I really put that just as, like, a just in case. I'm gonna try my hardest to not curse every other word. I do that enough at work, and it's a struggle. So I'm gonna try to do it here as well, but it might happen. So I figured rather be safe than sorry. So that's just my other little disclaimer. I actually want to talk really quickly about this craziness of getting this podcast on iTunes. So I had recorded the first episode when it was New Year's Eve. So not like a crazy amount of long time ago. It's January 8th now. But I recorded it New Year's Eve. And the front-loaded work for putting in or creating a podcast, I figured out how to do it literally by myself, in the sense of I didn't ask anybody for help. I used my resources, aka Google, to figure out step-by-step how to start a podcast, where you start, what does a hosting website look like, where do I, you know, acquire one, how do I get it onto other, you know, streaming platforms like Spotify, like iTunes, and I just kind of figured it out as I went, which is the craziest thing, because if you know me on a personal level, you know I ask for help without hesitation. I'm not embarrassed to ask for help. I'm prideful in certain aspects of my life, but when it comes to asking for help, I have no hesitation for doing that. But this was something that I was like, no, stubborn, I want to figure it out, I'm going to figure it out, and it took a while, but once I kind of got the ground, got the ball rolling and kind of had my groundwork going, I looked into having this podcast on iTunes. And I guess I was just naive in thinking, oh, you create a podcast, you upload it, and then iTunes is like, yep, great, you're good. No. So I put this episode, the first episode, on my hosting platform, which then would stream it to different platforms. So the only one that I had looked into was iTunes, because that's where I listen to my podcasts. So I put it in, and I think it's just going to be active, live, ready to go. And I get this notification that's like, thank you so much for submitting your podcast. Apple is going to, review this, and once it's approved, we'll let you know. And I had this minute of like, oh, it has to get approved. So I kind of use that as like this, like the safety net or the safety blanket or whatever you want to call it. And I was like, oh, it has to get approved. Great. If it doesn't, no worries. This like fear-based, almost like justification of like, all good. I didn't really need to do this anyway. So I kind of was like, no worries. Then the other night, Frank and I were watching a video of Chris D'Elia, which is one of our favorite comedians, and he was on someone else's podcast, who I guess had just gotten started as well, and they had posted that podcast on Spotify, and it said, you know, it was, you could listen on Spotify and coming to iTunes soon. So I feel that it's a struggle. They take their time, which I understand completely, but at the same time, crazy. So I was like, oh, they have it on Spotify. Let me look into it. Because if anything, it was going to be the same amount of time that it was going to take for iTunes. So I input all my information, I create my podcast on Spotify, I put in my episode, and they sent me this confirmation email, and I said, all right, well, I'll check in a few days, and because they actually don't let you know when it's approved, it just shows up. So every morning I get up at 5 a.m., which is insane by itself, but I got up at 5 a.m., I was getting ready for work, and I just decided to check while I was waiting for, honestly, I was waiting for my moisturizer to set in on my face, let's be honest. So while I was waiting, I said, let me check Spotify, and it was up, and I was like, oh my god, didn't think it was going to be, it was literally less than 24 hours. So I had this moment of, like, paralyzing fear, and then I said, you know what? Not doing it. So at like approximately 5:12 in the morning was when I put out that I had made this podcast, which was the craziest way to start my morning, because I had all this like nervous, anxious, but excited energy. I can actually equate it. I don't know how Frank is going to feel about this. I can equate it to almost the same exact feeling I had the day of my wedding. Like that morning, waking up and kind of not knowing what to do and having this like heartbeat that was normal, but like just slightly elevated and, you know, sweating and, you know, just all of those feelings that you get when you're nervous and excited, but like in a good way. So I was actually so like wound up and nervous and excited that I think I was just like moving a mile a minute. So I was walking down my stairs. I have two full sets of stairs in my house because Frank and I just are silly people who don't think about logical things, like all of the stairs all the time. So I was coming down my stairs onto my first floor and I was so excited and I was trying to get ready for work and there was all these things going on that I literally fell down the stairs. Not the whole flight, but easily like four to five steps is what I missed. And I face planted and like I have this crazy bruise on my arm. And I thought it was hilarious. Like, okay, yeah, I'm super excited, but also calm down, relax. I wish I could tell you that was the first time I fell down my stairs in my house. It's actually probably the third, if not the fourth time. I don't know why I get like this. And I just take the stairs like very, very fast. The first time I fell down the stairs in this house, we've been living here a little over a year. And I fell down the stairs for the first time in the house. I think it was a week before the wedding. And I'm telling you, it was not a graceful fall and it was not like a slip. It wasn't like, oh, I missed a step or two. The whole flight of stairs. And I went down like almost like, remember pinball machines, like a ball at the pinball machine where it hits every wall? That was me. I woke up Frank, because it was early in the morning, I woke him up to the sound, And he said that I was just like sprawled out. I must have looked ridiculous. But anyway, good times. So that was my morning yesterday with figuring out or understanding that the podcast was live and there was no turning back. So with that being said, I really just want to take a quick second, and I don't think there's going to be anything like a quick second for me, but just really briefly, I want to thank every single person who not only listened to the first episode, which was very much a really, really rough, you know, episode of this idea. I was pausing a lot. I say every 5 seconds. That's probably not going to change. And it was definitely something that I was not confident in at all. And I think, of course, your inner critic, your inner mean girl is like, what are you doing? Stop doing this. But everybody who reached out to me was super, super, super supportive. It floored me. It actually made me, happy is not even the word. I was so just like fulfilled. I felt like I was validated. Like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. I should keep going. And, you know, I made a joke, or not really a joke, but I kind of made this comment last episode of like, the people who I was concerned about, you know, being negative about it or screenshotting it, sending it to their friends, like being the butt of a joke almost. Some, you know, the people that I haven't talked to in years, some of them reached out to me of saying beautiful, beautiful, positive things. And not that I was expecting people to actually reach out to me with negativity. If anybody is saying anything negative, they're not saying it to me. They're putting it in a group chat, like I said, or they're saying it to themselves or whatever. And that's fine. I don't need to hear it because, you know, as Rachel Hollis says, other people's opinions of me are none of my business. So you have good things to say. I'm so happy you don't. God bless. But everybody who's reached out to me has been so, so, so supportive. To hear that my, you know, 10-minute rant or ramble or nothing even solidified resonated with you, I beyond appreciate it. So just thank you. But I will say I've listened to the podcast 2 times. Once before it was a podcast and it was just a recording on my computer, which was probably a minute after I recorded it originally. And then 1 time yesterday, I did indulge and I did listen 1 time. And guys, listening to yourself is so hard. Not only are you like, oh, that's what I really sound like, cool, let me just go set myself on fire. But it's also your inner critic, like I said before, is just loud. And they are loud AF. They are like, stop it. Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Why would this ever be something that you think you can do? And I mean, on one hand, sure, I can, you know what? I'll bite. Sure. Who do I think I am? The answer? No idea. But I plan on figuring it out along the way. I don't need to know. But also, the amount of people that had said, I mean, I did make a joke that I did not have a voice for radio, and like 4 or 5 different people were like, don't say that. My friend Taryn, who I love and adore, I saw her today, we met up to go to the gym, and she was like, oh my god, you know, walks into the gym. She is so unapologetic about who she is, and I cherish that about her. She walks in, this is her maybe 2nd or 3rd day at the gym with me. She walks in and she's like, oh my god, yelling, I listened to your podcast, it was amazing. And me being like this little mouse in the corner that's like, oh my god, so embarrassing, please stop talking. She's like, this was amazing, yelling. And she knows one person at the gym, that's me. And she goes, it was like, you know, it was like you were in the car with me and we were just chatting. Like, I loved that. And I was like joking with her, like, oh, I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not, but thanks for the feedback. But that was actually pretty reassuring to have someone say, you know, it is a genuine conversation, or it feels like one, and your voice is your voice. And honestly, who cares? Like, there's bigger things to worry about. But she did say, because, you know, she's literally such a badass, and And she teaches kindergarten. I can't. She's the best. And she's like, you know what this is? This is just like so rock and roll. And I looked at her and I was like, I feel really cool right now, but I think you're not like supposed to feel cool if someone says that to you. So I'm trying to play it cool. But in my head, I'm like, yeah, I'm rock and roll. Like, yeah, I am. Whatever. Cool. Like, just not cool in that moment. But anyway, I'm trying to push past all that negative talk because of the amount of people that reached out to me yesterday. I was floored, like I said. But the thing that stuck out to me the most, the thing that I was actually, like, shocked by, is the amount of people that reached out to me saying, this is awesome, you know, you're doing a great job, keep it up. I've always wanted to do something like this, whether it was start a blog, start an Instagram for a specific topic, write a book, do a podcast, whatever. I've always wanted to do it, but, and there's this, you know, that fill in the blank of, but I'm afraid, but what are people going to think, but who would even care, but who do I think I am? Literally, it was like a cookie cutter response from, I would say, like 70 to 75% of the people who reached out to me. And there were quite a few people reaching out to me, which is awesome. But I was also like, all right, this is my next episode of like, why is believing in yourself such a hard concept? Now, and I'm not trying to be insensitive here, but I think this is more geared toward women than it is for men. In the sense of their men absolutely, you know, doubt themselves or they have a hard time believing in themselves. But I think women have a hard time believing in themselves, so they don't do anything. Whereas men at least like will do something to validate themselves. Where women are like, I'm just gonna push down this feeling. I'm going to pretend it doesn't exist. I'm going to apologize for almost wanting something like to do something like this and just pretend it's not happening, like completely ignore it. And I'm sorry, but come on. Now, within reason, of course, you know, there's things that you should strive for, and there's, you know, there's a time and a place for other things. But the amount of people that said no one will care, or I would, you know, what will people think? Who do I think I am? And I'm like, hold on. If you believe in yourself, or if you believe in your idea, why is it such a hard thing or a hard concept to just do it, to just believe in yourself enough? Is it because you thought about what your followers would think on Instagram? Like, oh, another post or whatever. Okay, and? Like, we're all mindlessly scrolling our lives away anyway. You might as well fill someone's feed with something that's beneficial. Like, shout out to my friend Deanna, who is, she created an Instagram account for women's health. And I would much rather follow it, by the way. It's amazing. I'll link it. But it's literally about, you know, taking care of yourself as a woman. I'd much rather see that than, like, you know, Kylie Jenner's 77th lip kit or whatever. Like, not that I know nothing about that, so if that's inaccurate, I'm not sorry. But, like, wouldn't you rather be filled with something, or like, your Instagram or your phone or whatever, be filled with something that you can learn from or you can take something away from? Like, why aren't we doing that? And it's because we care what people think. Going back to last episode, we are afraid of what people are going to think. Why? Like someone from high school that you have not talked to? Okay, so what? The amount of people that reached out to me from high school that I legitimately have not spoken to in almost 10 years had such nice things to say. So people surprise you. So don't let that deter you, right? So again, don't let these cheap seat people have front row access. Don't let them dictate how you feel, because they actually might be on your side or on your team with this. And it's not for them. It's for you. Now, yes, if you want to create something that's going to help people, I think that's amazing. But the first thing you have to understand is it's for you. Frank actually said that to me. My husband said that to me when I first brought this up, because it did stem from, this idea did stem from my lack of listening, because it's a real problem and it's not going anywhere. And I do want to bring that up. But he said to me, the only thing I'm concerned about is if you do this, I don't want at any point for it to stop being about you or for you. I don't want you to get caught up in what other people are going to think or how many people are listening to it or, you know, anything that has no longer served me first, has filled my cup first. So I'm very mindful of that. And I think that is something that you can take away from this at the very least. If you believe in yourself or if you believe in an idea, why is it such a hard like, if you believe in it, why aren't you doing it? Why is it such a hard concept to believe in yourself? Like, let me ask you, do you believe in your idea? Do you think it's worthy? If the answer is yes, what are you waiting for? And if you're so concerned about what other people are going to think, I'm going to ask you another question. Do you like yourself? Do you like yourself enough to do it anyway? Give yourself the credit that you deserve. And listen, if you don't like yourself and that's like a real thing, let's dive into that at another time. At the very least, what I need you to do before we dive into it is find something that you like about yourself. Anything. Like, look in the mirror every single day and find something. Whether it's like, my hair looks great today, or I have adorable earlobes. I don't know. Something. You need to try that. And listen, it's a struggle for me as well. If you are somebody who is in my personal life, you know the struggle. But, you know, like for me, I'll be transparent. I absolutely hate my arms. Hate them. Not the size of them, like long ways, because obviously, like, I don't have a lot of length anywhere. But I have a huge insecurity about the, you know, the shape of them. Like, they're not muscular enough. They're not toned enough. I wear long sleeves to the gym every single day. I do not show my arms ever. I will always wear short sleeves in like the summer, or, you know, if it's 100 degrees, I gotta let that go. But at work, always layered, always covering, because it's something that I don't like about myself. So I'm working on that. But with that, I have to be able to at least say, but my hair looks great. Or, you know, the color of my eyes today are, you know, it's really, whatever shirt I'm wearing is really bringing out the colors in my eyes. It looks great. I don't know. I have to find something, because if I only focus on the fact that I hate my arms, I'm going to be miserable all the time. And I can choose that. I can control that. So I just have to, like, you know, switch the narrative a little bit. But anyway, I'm getting a little bit off the point. But if you are somebody who believes in this idea, why can't you just believe in yourself? Like, why did we stop doing it? And, you know, going back, I was having a hard time believing in this idea after the episode came out, you know, the other day. I had this moment of, maybe I should just delete it and, like, just bite it, forget it. And I had to realize that was based out of fear. That was fear telling me, you can't do this. But, you know, people who I barely know reached out to me. So at the very least, I was like, I have to keep going. Like, guys, even my Italian immigrant father texted me telling me that he was proud. Y'all, that's like seeing a unicorn or Bigfoot or something mythical that, you know, you only read about in stories. Not saying that he doesn't love me or isn't proud of me, but showing affection is not really in an immigrant's wheelhouse. And if you have immigrant parents, you feel me on that. They love you, but my dad shows love in a way, and I think it's the way he was brought up, but he shows love, like, through gestures and gifts. Like, he'll actually never say he's sorry for anything. Instead of apologizing, he'll buy an appliance for the house. Like, one time, him and me got into an argument when I was, like, a teenager. And he came home and, again, never said I'm sorry for yelling. Never I overreacted. I apologize. Daniela, I got you this blender. Uh-oh. Thanks, Dad. Thanks. You're forgiven. So, for him to contact me, I talk to him every day, but for him to text me and tell me he was so, so proud of me was like, wow. All right. I mean, listen, I'm not talking crazy, you know, life-altering things. I'm rambling, I've been rambling, but hey, I'm doing it. So, whatever. So, if you are somebody who is having an idea, within reason, when did that stop being enough? When did your idea or your passion or something that brought you joy stop being enough? Think about that. I actually want to ask another question that is one of my favorite questions, and I thought about this the other day. What did you want to be when you grew up? Say it out loud. What did you want to be when you grew up? When I was young, without blinking, if someone asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? Actor. Every time. I want to be an actor. And in fact, I pursued that dream for years. Years and years and years. My parents took me to auditions. My parents took me to modeling agencies. My parents, you know, chauffeured me to the city and to, you know, other places for go-sees, which is where, like, you know, they want to hire you and only you, but they want to see you first. And commercials. I did commercials. I did, you know, print work. I did stock images. I did, you know, all these things. And this shift happened when I was in high school, where I think I knew that my parents were kind of like, they never ever said anything. They were never anything but supportive. But I felt a shift when I was like 17 years old that was like, okay, Daniela, get real. Get real. This is not going to be something that you can do. You're going to college next year. Think of something else. So my question to you is, what did you want to be when you grew up? When you grew up, when someone asked you when you were a kid, right? What was that honest answer? And then when did that answer change? When did you start giving the answer that was like the safe answer? When did you give the answer that you knew was a more acceptable response? Like at a certain point, I stopped saying actor. Even when I was still pursuing it, and I started saying teacher. Now, the irony here is that I actually became a teacher, which I'm actually going to try to not talk about that much, because honestly, that could be a podcast in and of itself. But I think that, you know, I want to keep it a little bit separate, unless I'm specifically talking about stuff at work. But I stopped saying the thing that I actually dreamt about, and started saying the thing that I knew people would be more comfortable hearing. So what was yours? Like, what was your, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a professional baseball player. I want to be whatever. And then when did it start becoming something else? Now, if you're someone who had the same response when you were a kid and you're now doing that career, please tell me about it, because I think that's amazing. But I feel like a lot of people can relate to, I used to say this, and now I say this. And it's because it was a safe response. Because at some point, either you yourself, your inner voice, told you to dream smaller or to do less, or someone else said it or didn't say it, but you felt it from them. Not that I'm saying my parents did that, because, listen, they're scary and I don't want them to yell at me. I did that. But I think there was just a shift as I was getting older. And I think, you know, you either know or you don't. So when did you start giving up on yourself? When did you quit the thing that used to bring you joy? And why? Like, because someone else wanted you to be smaller or because you decided that you couldn't do that because it wasn't, you know, it would make other people uncomfortable. Like, sorry, not sorry, but that's bullshit. Yeah, there's the first curse. But it is. Now, if you wanted some crazy, audacious, like amazing dream, and you knew for a 100% fact that it wasn't going to happen, and so you had a backup plan, okay, fine. But at the same time, why was it so, you know, so incredible to think about you that you couldn't do it? Like, you couldn't even imagine it. You know, why did we stop doing the things that we actually wanted to do? So going back to believing in yourself, like, why is that such a hard concept? Well, I think because we've been conditioned to stop believing in ourselves unconditionally and start believing in ourselves safely. So when we do something that's out of the realm of safety, like this podcast for me, like, my comfort zone is a place where, you know, I'm not leaving it unless someone's pushing me out of it. And that someone had to be me this time. But I stay on my narrow path, and I'm just learning now, in the past 2 years, to stop going down the safe path. Because it's going to lead me to a very flat life. Like, I'd rather take the bumpy road because at least I know that I'm doing something actively. And unapologetically, hopefully. But we have to, you know, I stopped believing in myself and started believing in myself only safely. And when did we start doing that? Because, well, we did it because somebody told us, or we told ourselves, dream big, but not that big, right? Follow your dreams as long as you get a 401k as well. Doing something that you love no longer was able to be enough. And then it became, well, what's acceptable? What is something that will still bring me joy, but also I can do, and do it well, and also to do it in a way that is safe? So, I mean, I don't know the answer. That's another thing. I don't know the answers to these questions. I'm not saying to quit your job and to, you know, train to be an astronaut, or, you know, start selling your, like, you know, your soaps on the street. I don't know. I'm just saying to be mindful of the way that you believe in yourself. I had to do serious, like, undoing and reteaching of my own wiring in my brain to tell myself, listen, enough is enough. You want to talk? You want to do it in a way that is semi-productive? Even if it's literally sitting in the den of your house, you know, talking into a microphone, do it. Who cares? I do, but I don't. But not only that, like, I had to do a lot of reteaching and undoing and convincing myself that this was something that was good. And the minute it came out, the minute it was active, I was like, oh, abort, abort. And I'm still working through it, because believing in myself in this very moment, in real time, is tough, because now it's no longer safe. When it was just a voice recording on my phone, or I'm sorry, on my computer, or ideas written down on my phone, it was safe because nobody was listening to it. Now that there are listeners and people who are reaching out, and it's become this real thing, it's scary. But I'm not stopping, even if I want to. Because I don't really want to. I know other people might. And that's the voice in my head that's like, people are being mean about it. Okay, great. You know what? I'm not forcing you to listen. If you don't like it, I'm sure there's something out there for you. And it's not me. And that's okay. I can't take that personally. Unless you're being, you know, ruthless and mean. Well then, you know what? Go kick rocks. I don't care. But anyway, the point is, why is believing in yourself such a hard concept? I don't know the answer to that for you, but I know for me it's because I was always told through my own insecurities and that voice in my head of dream, but make sure you're doing it in a way that makes other people comfortable and makes you feel safe. So this is me stopping that and stepping a little bit out of the safety and comfort zone and hopefully making some sense of it. A little bit of an update. Or you know what? Before I do that, I feel like I never actually introduced myself. So maybe I should do that. My name is Daniela Buda, formerly Daniela Grimolia. I got married about 5 months ago. So, you know, killing it. We're doing great. But, you know, I'm a teacher, like I said. I am a daughter, and I am a sister, and I am on, you know, my way to hopefully being an exceptional friend to people, and somebody who I hope makes people proud. And a part of that, I think, is the reason why I think I needed this validation for myself of, you know, you are enough as you are right now in this moment. So let's solidify that for you. So yeah, my name is Daniela. I am a wife. I am a friend. I am a daughter. I am a sister. And I am probably a whole host of other things, but I probably won't say them. Anyway, I am not perfect by any means, and I don't claim to be. I am not an expert in any way about anything that I'm talking about, which I think is abundantly clear, but let's just put it out there. I am in no shape or form an expert. I do not claim to be one. I do not want to be one. I probably never will become one. Maybe I have some good insight on a particular topic every now and then, but I think the beauty of this podcast is the fact that I don't know a lot, and I am trying to gain a better understanding of a whole host of things. And you know what? Like, I'm going through the trenches with you as you're listening. You know, life is trial by fire. You figure it out as you go. And I think this is one of the ways that we can see that. That it isn't something that's this perfect, amazing thing, but I'm doing it. You know, in life, we're presented with things, and we just have to figure out the best way to approach it, or some way to approach it. Maybe it's not even the best. So, again, I don't claim to be an expert. So if you came here for an expert opinion, I'm very sorry that you've had to listen to this. But, you know, a little bit about me is just that I'm right here with you. You know, I'm doing it, and I'm figuring it out. I just wanted to give a brief update on what I talked about the last episode, or the first episode, which was the listening with the intent to speak and not to actually just listen to what someone says. I've, now that I've said it and it's out there and so many people were like, I do the same thing. So at least it's not just me. But now I am really starting to notice when I do it or when other people do it. So I think that is even just a big step from, you know, 48 hours ago or last week when I actually recorded it. But have you noticed it about yourself too, that someone says something and instead of just listening, you put in your two cents or you relate to it as well? And again, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I do think that it does show a level of empathy of kind of like, hey, I've been where you are, or I currently am where you are. I'm in the trenches with you and I'm going through the same thing, and or, you know, I can relate to that, or that experience happened for me. But again, there's a time and a place, and it's almost like just shut up and listen. And I'm saying that to me, but if you want me to yell at you, like I'm here for it. I can yell at you. That feels right. But when you get the urge to speak, for me and for you, if I get the urge to speak, just don't. It's okay. It's okay to not tell your experience of the same, you know, of the same situation. It's okay. You know that you can relate. I know that I can relate. I know that I've been through what my friend has been through, or I'm currently kind of dealing with the same thing. But that's not why they reached out to you or they reached out to me. They want you to listen, and that's all. So for me, it's like, okay, yeah, I know that I can, you know, give my experience of when that thing happened to me, but that's just shut up. Just shut up. And I'm obviously more, you know, mean to myself. Don't tell yourself to shut up. And I won't tell you to do that either, unless you want me to. But I think the best way to acknowledge the fact that you do the same thing with listening is to stop it in its tracks of someone's telling you something, you agree with it. In fact, you can tell them, you know, an anecdote or a story about the same thing that happened to you, but just don't. Just close your mouth, make eye contact, and listen. And if they ask you if this has ever happened to you, or am I crazy, or am I being irrational, or what do you think, then you talk. But don't make it about you all the time. I'm really telling myself this, I'm just saying it into a microphone. So maybe this podcast is really just me yelling at myself. Who knows? I guess we're gonna figure it out. So anyway, listen, I made a promise to somebody when I first started this that I was always going to try my best to keep it to less than an hour. And it brought 40 minutes. So, one, crazy that I was able to do that for 40 minutes. I don't even know what I said, but guess what? I'm just gonna upload it anyway. And second, you know, 40 minutes is a long time, and I don't want you to get bored. So, if I ever have somebody on here and we're talking together, it's probably gonna go over an hour, because that's actually more interesting than what I have to say. But I'm trying to keep a commitment of to the point, short, sweet, and to the point, to the best that I can. But then again, guys, I love to talk, so who knows how long this can be. But with that being said, I think that's a nice way to stop it. Don't know if we actually covered anything other than believing in yourself is a really hard concept for whatever reason, for whatever, you know, has been ingrained in your mind or in your heart or a little bit of both. Just believe in yourself enough to know that your idea of what, you know, is kind of on your mind or something that you want to do, just believe in yourself enough to make a plan or to try it. Just try. That's all that I get ask, and that's all that you can ask of yourself. And, you know, listen, you got my support. How could I not, right? You guys came out full force to support me, and that means the absolute world to me. And I hope that this second episode is giving you a little bit of, you know, hey, you know what, I'll keep listening. So we'll see. But I feel like this is a nice way to stop. So on that note, I'm gonna wind down, gonna watch a movie or something with Frank, and be in bed by 9:30, because that is how I roll. Alright guys, thanks for listening. If you did like it, you know, just maybe rate it, subscribe to it, follow it. I don't know the right words, but it is on Spotify. I think that's a follow. And then on iTunes is a subscribe. I'm learning with you. So if you liked this, maybe share it, tell a friend, and also subscribe to it and rate it and enjoy it. So yeah, alright. Thank you so much. Have a great night, everybody. Bye. Or morning, whenever you're listening. I don't know. I can't keep up. All right. All right. Bye.